The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Hello, everyone. I'm Chaplain John McTernan, and this is our Sunday night Bible teaching. I got that on my mind from all week. Going over events, biblical events, the weekly end times prophecy update. There we go. That's where we are. That's where we're at right now. And I usually have a sidekick here with me, and let me track him down and see if he's here. And that would be, where is he? He is here. Hello, Dave.
Shalom and Maranatha, John.
Yes, shalom and Maranatha to you also.
Thank you.
I'm glad you're here.
Thank you.
Start us off at 1 Corinthians 15:51.
Sure. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. But this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is life. But thanks be to God, which is the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Amen, Dave. And those are two powerful sets of scriptures that really is the foundation of the rapture doctrine. And we meet the Lord in the air. We go there instantly in the twinkling of an eye. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. When the Lord comes for the believers in Jesus Christ, he meets us in the air, at what's classically known as the second coming. His feet stand that day, on the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. So he is returning to Jerusalem, Dave, to Jerusalem. All right. And then connected with the rapture is the blessed hope. And we see that in Titus 2:13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Looking for the blessed hope is looking for the rapture and Christ coming for us. So the rapture and the blessed hope go together. If you're looking for the rapture, you're living for the blessed hope. All right, Brother Dave. It's been, as far as the Middle East goes, it's been a little calm this week, Dave. I mean, there has been some, a little bit of a fight between Israel and Hamas. And I guess that's to be expected on Hamas's part. But, Dave, it's been some interesting things, but certainly things have calmed down in the Middle East with Israel and all that's happening there. So what comments do you have, Dave, that you want to bring to our attention?
Sure, John. What's interesting is the covenant or treaty that Hamas made with Israel lasted less than a week before. I just watched Israeli news. Hamas killed two Israeli soldiers. Israel responded by bombing sections in Gaza. So that didn't last. So note that Iran made a very bold statement that it's not going to adhere to any of the nuclear restrictions from the, I think it was 2015, proposal that they were supposed to be sticking to. So now I assume they're going to start enriching uranium, possibly rebuilding some of their facilities. And President Trump made it very clear that they don't want them to enrich uranium at all, that they have to turn over what enriched uranium they do have. So things are kind of at a stalemate. And President Trump worried that if they don't, participate in what the treaty originally said, there's going to be big problems. But, John, one of the big things I want to talk about today is that a friend of mine on Long Island called me, and on the internet, there are videos talking about the fact that this little peace treaty that they made we're talking about right now, has to do with Daniel chapter 9, 70th week of Daniel. And I'd like you to explain to people how it's not have anything to do, well, it's setting the stage possibly for it, but basically the 70th week of Daniel, it begins, it says, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. The book of Revelation is Daniel's 70th week. Revelation chapter 11, 1260 days, 42 months. 3.5 years, 3.5 years. Jesus spoke about it in Matthew 24 when you see the abomination of desolation. So if somebody is saying that this treaty that just happened, and you're talking about Jared Kushner initiating it, negotiating it, they're basically trying to tell you that the tribulation just started. So, John, if you could explain to everybody listening how that is not correct.
Yeah, Dave, it's not correct. I would say that this is a forerunner of it, for sure, but it is not the treaty that the Antichrist is going to make, the beast. Because, Dave, that's a pretty strong statement to say that this is the treaty, because Trump is the one that made it with them, not Jared. He didn't make it with them. Trump had the official authority and power to do it. So, and Dave, to say that someone, all right, wild speculation is one thing, but this person you're talking about, was it more like it could be or he is?
Well, the video basically presented the fact, they didn't say he is, but they basically presented documentation kind of saying that he is, but they didn't say it, okay? But basically making the entire presentation saying Jared Kushner basically said negotiated the treaty, and it has everything to do with Daniel chapter 9. So, like I said, it's kind of sad because the rapture hasn't happened. It has nothing to do with the rebuilding of the temple. So, you know, it's sad that they're kind of getting this wrong. And basically, they're telling you that the seven-year tribulation just started. So,
well, Dave, if you remember, let's go back into history a little here. And if you remember back in the 70s, I mean, that rhetoric was flying all over the place. What Henry Kissinger was the, what was he, the Antichrist? And King Juan Carlos of Spain was the Antichrist. And Dave, do you remember that?
Yeah, it was incorrect back then also.
Yeah, and then there was that guy that spoke at the UN. I forget what his name was. They said he was a spokesman for the Antichrist. But there was, I mean, and it was date setting. That was really big back then also. Date setting and declaring so-and-so was the Antichrist, the beast. So it's really ignorance of the scriptures, because we know that there's 7 years left to fulfill Daniel's 70th week. And it says that he is the king or the president or whatever you want to call him of the revived Roman Empire. And he is the one that makes the treaty. And it says with the many, he's going to confirm the covenant. So the covenant is going to be in place. He is going to make this covenant or confirm the covenant. And what he's going to do, Dave, he is going to be like a protector of Israel. Really, that's what he says he's going to do. And he's going to protect them for 7 years. Now, when we look at the situation, Israel has to be back with the Lord under the law, because 3.5 years later, they're going to destroy, this man is going to break the covenant. He's going to go into the temple of God and declare that he is God. And then he's going to, everybody has to submit to the 666 system. So there's no way, Dave, that the Jews are, I think they've made a turn to back to being Jews. Let me put it that way. They've made a turn to be back to being Jews instead of completely, most of them completely secular. They've made that turn. But Dave, isn't the mosque there and the temple and the Dome of the Rock, Isn't that there where the Jews are going to build the temple? There's no sign of them building the temple. I mean, there's an interest in it. 20, 25 years ago, more there was no, almost zero interest in Israel for the temple, but now there is. There's a bona fide interest in it. But there's nothing going, Dave. There's nothing in place to fulfill that prophecy that the Jews are going to be under the law of Moses again. The temple, they're going to have temple worship. They're going to be performing sacrifices. And the beast is going to end it and declare that he is God and sit in the temple of God. So does that give you enough ammunition, Dave, to be able to stand against this? Well, I know you, but is that enough information to give that the people can see that this isn't a real thing?
Yeah, because the scriptures are very, very clear that if you're saying that this is the, you're saying Daniel 70th week has begun and we're in the tribulation.
Yes.
So I just wanted to go over that, John, because like I said, there's lots of videos on the internet to talk about it. And obviously the rapture didn't happen. So it looks like we're still here, John. You're still here?
Yep, I am, Dave.
Okay. Just want to make sure.
Otherwise, you'd be on a long distance call to heaven.
Exactly.
All right. But it doesn't take long, does it, for people to get triggered and come up with these things, Dave?
Yeah, no, I understand. It's sad, John, but that's okay. We just want to try to, if anybody's listening and heard that particular situation, there's a lot of incorrect information on the internet, but the Bible is very, very clear. It's not very complicated, what we just talked about. Pretty simple.
Well, Dave, back in the day, I remember this guy, Howard Camping. Do you remember him?
Right. Yes.
And he was predicting Christ's coming. And he had all these mathematical calculations and all. And then one of them, Dave, I thought he was going to be right because it was May 21st, which, of course, is my birthday. So I thought maybe the Lord was coming back on my birthday. You're not laughing, Dave.
Well, it's kind of funny, but you didn't make me laugh, John. Sorry.
Put Diane on the phone, will you, Dave, please? She'll laugh.
Well, she's busy doing something with some eggplant.
Yeah, folks, there was this guy, Howard Camping, back in the 70s. I don't know when he passed away, but anyways, he made the one prediction the Lord was going to return on a certain date, and then he made the second one was on May 21st. Now, of course, my birthday, it was the month and day is May 21st. But needless to say, neither one happened. And Dave, do you notice how they don't give up? Like, you think you'd be, shamed. You think you'd be shamed and repent to everyone and apologize. But not these. He's a false teacher or prophet. Nah, he went. He just kept on going. So he'd lose a big chunk of his following, and then so many years later, he'd have them back. Yeah, that was him. And then there was a guy that wrote a book. 89 reasons why Jesus Christ is going to come back.
It was 88 ways.
88 reasons. 88 reasons. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I remember the false prophecy really hurt the Jehovah Witnesses, because they said Christ was coming back in 1975, and they were so sure of it, and they were very aggressive, going door to door and handing out their watchtower. Then he didn't come in 1975. And I must have been, they just disappeared. The Jehovah Witnesses just absolutely overnight disappeared. But it must have been 10 or 15 years later until they began to be seen again, Dave. You remember that, Dave? The Jehovah Witnesses?
Yeah, 1975, exactly. Yeah, not a good idea.
Do you remember every year they had an event at Yankee Stadium in New York there? And they would fill the stadium up for a day. And then after that, I don't think they ever held that event again in Yankee Stadium. I think that was the last time. That decimated.
Yeah, John, one funny thing. There's the Nassau Coliseum. It's a huge auditorium. And I don't know how many years ago it was. I heard that they were having another huge meeting. So I went there with a few hundred of the last trumpets. And I didn't go into the Coliseum, but I was passing some out. And I got surrounded by some of their security guards, okay? And they walked me out of the place. So then what I did is I went to the huge hotel, which was right next door where they were all staying, and I slipped the last trumpet under every door.
Oh,
so it took me a couple of hours, but I had to do something because they were coming up with a lot of strange stuff. They believe Jesus is Michael the Archangel, all sorts of crazy stuff. So, and plus they've made many, many false prophecies. In 1925, they built a mansion, I think in California, called Beth. And they said Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were going to come back and land in this mansion. That didn't happen. And on. So not only did they,
Well, go ahead, Dave. Finish what you're going to say.
Yeah, not only did they have, like, false doctrine about Jesus, they've made multiple false prophecies. So it's very sad that anybody could participate in the Jehovah's Witness organization. Very sad. It's documented that they've made false prophecies.
They prophesied that World War I was Armageddon and that Jesus Christ was going to return in 1918, I think it was. And then the war was over and he didn't return. So their excuse was that there's been a change and that right now he's residing in Brooklyn, New York, and he'll reveal himself in a short time.
Yeah, a little strange. And they were talking about something about the 144,000. I'm not sure exactly what they were talking about with that, but they were making some claims about that the witnesses were the 144,000, and once it got over 144,000, they changed their tune. A little strange.
Well, anyways, we'll get back here to the Middle East and what's going on today. But yeah, those are the history there of Jehovah's Witnesses in particular. Howard Camping, 88 Reasons Why Christ is Returning in 88, and some other things. So Dave, I would expect that maybe this what you just picked up. Here about the Middle East now and the Antichrist and all. Maybe this is a lot of it's being revved up now, Dave. You know, there might be a lot more of this.
You're talking about speculation?
Yeah, a lot more of it.
Right. Well, John, it's kind of understandable just because people are excited about Jesus coming back and they're trying to find stuff to validate that particular position. So it's understandable. And, you know, Jesus in Matthew 24, the first sign that he talked about is take heed that no man deceive you. So there's a lot of religious deception going around.
Amen. Okay. Not here, Dave. And then the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So in the name of the Lord,
amen.
With the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the truth will be rightly divided here, Dave.
Amen.
Okay, let me get here to some of the articles that we have this week. And this is under my blog. And the heading of the blog is Israel at War, the Day of the Lord is Near. And this is a very interesting article, Dave. It's titled, Why Lebanon and the Arab World Continue to Deny Palestinians Citizenship. Because, Dave, The Palestinians that left Israel in 1948, and they became they set refugee camps up in Lebanon, Syria. Now, I'm not sure if the camps are still in Syria or not. I think they were dismantled, and the ones in Syria had to go to Lebanon. I'm not sure, but there was some in Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, and in Gaza. So I knew why that they have not been recognized as citizens of like Lebanon, Dave. I mean, we've got like
Well,
three generations. You have like a grandfather, father, and grandson all living in these Palestinian refugee camps. Are you aware of that, Dave?
yes, John, sure.
Okay. So today I'm reading this article, and the article's titled "Why Lebanon and the Arab World Continue to Deny Palestinian Citizenship." So let me just read this paragraph here. According to most Arab countries follow the same pattern. In the Emirates, you have 1 million local citizens and more than 30 million foreigners. No Palestinian has been given citizenship in any Arab country because this would mean assimilation and de facto recognition of the Zionist entity. So how do you like that, Dave?
Yeah, they want to basically continue the problem. The Palestinians called it the Nakba, the catastrophe, 1948, and want to perpetuate the problem.
Well, they perpetuate the problem, but in their mind, if they allow any of the Palestinians to assimilate, that is a de facto recognition of Israel.
That's what they want to avoid.
That's what they want to avoid. Yes. So they will not one, isn't this amazing? Not one Arab country has given one Palestinian citizenship. They are kept in limbo, Dave. I also watched a pretty nice video. It's titled "Netanyahu Sits in Stunned Silence as Mike Huckabee Sends Biblical Message to the World." Did you see that by any chance, Dave?
I sent it to you, John. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good.
That
Good
was
man.
pretty amazing.
Yeah. So it's about 10 minutes long, folks, and I recommend that you it's on my blog right now. I recommend you watch it. It's really, really good. What happens is Marco Rubio spoke there also, and it was the opening of a archaeological site where it was the walkway from the city of David, and it would be up. You'd have to go up to the Temple Mount, and through archaeology and the digging it out and all, they were able to get down to the bedrock. They got right down to the way it looked in the day of the Lord, and so you could do the same pilgrimage. You could go to Israel, and you could start at the bottom there in the city of David, and go all the ways up to the Temple Mount. And I guess you can't do that today, Dave, because the mosque is there, and the Muslims would go crazy. But anyways, it's structured to you go right as far as you can, and then you'd be up on the Temple Mount. So isn't that something? Just like and the Lord walked that day. The Lord literally
Exactly,
walked
John.
that, and the apostles walked that. So that's amazing, Dave. And it's all been excavated, and you can walk on the same steps like the Lord walked, we'll just roughly say 2,000 years ago. Yeah, Dave.
Yeah, Mike Huckabee did quite a presentation, John, talking about the fact that God gives the land to Israel. basically diametrically opposed to what the Palestinians and the Arab countries, Israel, to be there. They just want, when they quote from the river to the sea, they're not talking about diplomacy. They're talking about the elimination of what they call the Zionist entity.
You know, Dave, I have some news for them. God's a Zionist, Dave.
An extreme Zionist.
Yes. Yes. It talks about God loving Zion. And Isaiah 34:8 talks about the end time war. And God says that the battle is because of the controversy over Zion. Zion. So Zion is a good word. Now, I found a very interesting article that's titled, Turkey Wants to Replace Iran and Encircle Israel. And we know that Turkey is very, very, well, especially vocally, very aggressive, Dave, against Israel. And Erdogan, their president, he's been very supportive of Hamas. And if I remember correctly, Dave, Hamas, Turkey has like a setup in their capital there for Hamas. In other words, they can come and live. And Erdogan was absolutely ugly as could be about Israel retaliating against Hamas for October 7th. And he was calling Israel, they were committing genocide and murderers and all of that. And Hamas remained little, perfect, nice little Boy Scouts, Dave. Yeah? So his plan is, you know, let me read this paragraph. It's pretty good. This animosity is channeled through a calculated political strategy. President Erdogan attaches great importance to the Palestinian issue, presenting himself as the protector of the Palestinians and of the holy Islamic sites in Jerusalem. By exploiting the Palestinian issue, Erdogan is trying to present Turkey as the Arab, to the Arab public, as a leading power in the Middle East, and to achieve Islamic legitimacy in the region. Well, that's Dave. I think they didn't mention it, but to me, there's no doubt that he wants to have a rebirth of the Ottoman Empire. I mean, that's exactly what he's after. The Ottoman Empire fell apart about 100 years ago, but he wants to revive the Ottoman Empire. And he's also very, very interested in Jerusalem. Now, Turkey has a NATO-equipped army. They have a very good army. It's like a NATO-equipped. So right now, there's a big vacuum. I mean, Iran cannot defend itself. Iraq can't defend itself. Syria can't defend itself. Lebanon can't defend itself. So, Dave, under the right circumstances, it's very plausible that through a weakness, we'll say particularly in Syria, Erdogan could take the Turkish army and head south. And, of course, we know that's what they're going to do in Ezekiel 38 and 39. But there could be an open field, Dave, to head down from Turkey right to the border with Israel. Any comment, Dave?
Well, John, exactly like you said, Erdogan is very, very concerned about Jerusalem. He's obsessed with Jerusalem, and he's also called for the assassination of Netanyahu. And like you said, they have a very strong army. They have F-15s, all sorts of advanced military equipment, and they're very aggressive, John.
Right, right. So that is a definite, what would be the word? That is a definite angle for Turkey to head against, to come down and try and fight Israel. Now, of course, Turkey does not have nuclear weapons, which really changes the whole situation. But that's not to say, Dave. I mean, Turkey's got a very good army. They've got top tanks, top airplanes. The troops are well trained. So you could clearly see, Dave, in the near future, not 50 years from now, in the near future, it's very possible there could be a confrontation between Turkey and Israel. So we know when we look at Ezekiel 38 and 39 that there is going to be that confrontation. But before that, the situation has to be set up that Israel's at peace, according to Ezekiel 38 and 39. And the area that's now known as Russia is going to be leading the attack, and Turkey is going to be one of the confederates, along with Iran, along with North Africa, west of Egypt, and then South Africa, south of Egypt, and then a place called Gomer, which fits to be like East Europe, are all going to come down, Dave, in what the Bible famous what's famously called now the Battle of Gog, being the king and Magog being the land. So that's out there, Dave. And circumstances could quickly come to pass where the stage could be set, Dave, for Ezekiel 38 and 39. Any comments there?
Well, John, when you look at a global map and you look at their population, and what you just said, it's theoretically impossible for Israel to survive. And the creator of the universe that creates galaxies is going to intervene, and he's going to vaporize Israel's enemies, and he's going to do it in such a way that the world will know, they're probably not going to believe it, but that the world will know that he intervened. And it validates Israel's existence, their claim to Jerusalem. And sad to say, it looks like when that happens, there's a possibility they're going to say, oh, that must be Armageddon. Here comes the Messiah. So it could create the stage for Israel being deceived. But the good news is when you read Revelation chapter 11, God's going to have mercy. And, there's a lot of speculation, Moses and Elijah, Elijah and Enoch, whatever, coming to Jerusalem, or two unidentified men coming to Jerusalem. And they're going to have a 1260-day window before the Antichrist institutes his monetary system. So we matter, John. How could anybody on earth participate in the monetary system after seeing two prophets in Jerusalem preaching for 1,200 days, getting assassinated and then resurrected and ascended to heaven? And then you're going to participate in the mark of the beast? Yeah, not a very wise idea, John.
No, but that shows, Dave, the hatred against God,
Right, sure.
and they love lies. So God is going to, they're not going to, well, they are going to be deceived, Dave, but they're deceived by their own sin. It's not that they're going to be blinded and they can't see in the dark. I mean, everything is going to be laid out prophetically. Everything. They are going to see, but they want sin more than they want to be with God. So they're going to get their sin. Then in eternity, they're going to be separate, and they're going to be in what the Bible calls the lake of fire. But God, they're all going to see it, Dave. God is going to show through those two prophets. And don't forget the 144,000, Dave.
Right, sure.
Yeah. So God, they're going to be a witness. The deception is their own sin. They love sin, and they're not going to give it up. They're like pit bulls and a bone, Dave. That reminds me, Dave, I had a pit bull there. His name was Samson, And when I lived in Pennsylvania, not too far from where I lived was a they had cattle, and then they would have you could order them, you could buy the meat there. So I, for $5, I go in and get a big bone, a bag of bones, and I bring those I bring the bones, and I give them to Samson, big shoulder bone there, and the other dogs. They would lick theirs, and they'd be shining clean there from licking it. But Samson would eat it like candy. His jaws were incredible, and you could hear it. You could hear him crunching on those bones and just breaking them up. He'd eat it, the candy. So that's no joke about a pit bull and his bone, Dave. The other dogs are, they couldn't do much other than. Get all the meat off it and marrow and all, but my pit bull would just crush it like candy. All right, let's get back here now. Dave, yesterday I heard there's a rumor that you were out with the No Kings protest there, and you had some signs. Is that true?
Well, actually, no, John. But there was one, believe it or not, in the town of Babylon, okay, where biblically, it's a biblical. My wife dragged me off to Babylon many, many years ago, forced me to live in Babylon, and therefore I am Babylonian. And it's a very, very unfortunate spiritual situation.
I know what that's
But
very similar, Dave. You're detailing very similar with Adam and Eve. Very similar, Dave.
exactly. It's, Adam blamed Eve, so it's the Lord showed me that I can blame my wife for
Oh, my
specific things,
goodness.
and that's what I'm doing. But it's actually the protest. I didn't see it, but it was up on Sunrise, the Babylon Town Hall, and it's all across the country. It was all across the country, John.
Well, what happened was the anti-Israel, the Hamas people decided to join. So they had a nice party the other day. Isn't that
Yeah,
amazing?
bad. Yep.
Yeah. So the article is titled Anti-Israel Radicals from Global Intifada Movement Join No Kings Protest. So all right. No, this is interesting, Dave. And everybody that's watching here. I did you know that, well, let me back up. The Muslims called what they did on October 7th the Alexa Mosque Deluge. Do you remember that, Dave?
Yeah, they were very, very clear that it had to do with the Temple Mount and the Alaska Mosque, because they thought it was desecrated.
Yeah, they were purifying their mosque. It's called the Alexa Mosque. Because the Jews, they consider apes and pigs, and they were desecrating. They were up all around it on the walking on the Temple Mount, so they were desecrating it. So that's why they attacked. They wanted to clean the Jews from the Temple Mount. So, but did you know that Israel also had a name for it? It
No, you mentioned that to me today. Interesting.
was called Iron Swords. That was the name, but they just changed it this week. And here, let me read the paragraph. It's very interesting. Israel's government on Sunday backed a proposal by Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to rename the Seven Front War that began on October 7, 2023, from Iron Swords to War of Redemption. Isn't that something, Dave? The War of Redemption.
Yeah.
And we mentioned here many times that that war that started was changed everything. It changed everything, Dave. It's spirit. You could feel it. It was spiritual, that war. And God began to show his mighty power as no matter what they did, no matter what Iran did, no matter what Syria did, the Houthis did. Hamas did, Hezbollah did. They all failed, Dave. They all failed. So they changed it. Now, let me read this. After 2 years, continuous fighting, we remember how we began, Netanyahu told his cabinet at the start of the weekly meeting, speaking ahead of the vote on the name change. Netanyahu said, "We rose from the terrible disaster of October 7th, he said, of the October 7th, 2023, Hamas-led massacre of 1,200 people in Israel's south. This is the war of our revival, a direct continuation of the War of Independence. Over a year ago, in a special cabinet meeting, marking 12 months since the Palestinian terrorist invasion, Netanyahu presented a draft decision to his ministers to rename the war, which until then had been dubbed the Iron Swords War. But the Israeli Defense Forces, the Tukma, T-K-U-M-A War, literal translation of the Tukma in English is rebirth or resurrection, with the Prime Minister's office formally translating it as redemption." So, Dave, that has a really, I mean, that's getting heavy. When we look at the, we know what the prophetic word says and all. So the Jews are calling the war of redemption, and the Muslims are calling it the Al-Qaeda's in my mind. They're calling it the Alexa Mosque Deluge. Any more comments, Dave, on that?
Well, John, interesting. Benjamin Netanyahu may have been influenced by a book he got a long time ago, I think in 1917. You familiar with that book, John?
Yeah, I am, Dave. Some guy, McTernan, I think. You talking about McTernan's book?
Yeah, yeah, As America's Done to Israel. So it may have influenced his perception that God gave the land to Israel, that if you try to violate the covenant, you can have a problem.
Yeah, and see, the hour has come, Dave. The hour of judgment now on these nations, particularly the Muslim nations, is coming. It's here. It started on October 7th, 2023. And this is starting the process of turning Israel back towards God. And it has what it's awakened, Dave, and worldwide, not only in Israel, but worldwide. The Jews are very secular and they want to be like the world, Dave. A lot of them, a huge number of them. And God will have no part of that. He'll bring things into there. He only let that go so far. He'll bring things into the nation of Israel's lives, the Jews' worldwide lives, to bring them back to their Jews. They're not to be part of the world because they desperately want to be like the world. But they're Jews. And I believe that that's awakened in them now, Dave. A whole bunch of them can see how their liberal friends turned on them. And they, Dave, just look at like Harvard and Columbia and University of Pennsylvania. I'm trying to think of the other, particularly Ivy League schools, but there are many more than that. How, I mean, they actually allowed Hamas sympathizers to run wild on campus to terrorize and isolate the Jews, the Jewish students. They actually allowed it. I mean, that's incredible. Yeah, Dave.
Well, John, it was all over the news, videos of, there was one video where the Jewish students had to, like, barricade themselves inside of a library because they were being threatened.
That was Columbia. And, that was Columbia.
Oh, Columbia, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was terrible, terrible, terrible. And it was all over the country.
Yeah, and they fought Trump over it. Trump was holding them responsible, the administration. And they fought him over it. Right now, it looks like they're going to settle for half a billion dollars. Harvard is going to settle for half a billion dollars. And they're going to clean up their act so the Jewish students are protected. Amazing. Amazing, Dave. The Ivy League just becoming nothing but really, they are the fascists, Dave. So you have Trump and his administration, along with the woman there that's head of the Department of Education, McMahon. And then you have Pam Bondi with the Justice Department. I mean, they're doing everything they can to protect the Jewish students from being assaulted, attacked, terrorized, and all. And you've got the administration saying they've got a right to do it. It's freedom of speech. It's like mind-boggling, Dave. It's like they actually do live in another universe. They really do, Dave. They are in Satan's realm. And so they sued Trump, and then it looks like the last I heard, I don't think they settled, but they were going to settle for a half a billion dollar like fine, Dave. $500 million. They ended up laying off a whole bunch of teachers. So there you go. That's the Ivy League schools, Dave. Any comment?
Yeah, very sad, John. Very, very sad. And, they're promoting anti-Semitism. And you don't have to be that bright to see what Hamas's goal is. So to set the stage for people to present the fact that Hamas is doing the correct thing is a little bit bizarre.
Well, speaking of that, one of the October 7th killers there, in Hamas, he escaped. Now, how's this for a name, Dave? Here's his name. This is the article. The FBI announced the arrest of Mahmoud Amen Yaqub al-Mudi. That's his name. 33, in Louisiana. Who was suspected of allegedly participating in the Hamas terrorist attacks on civilians in Israel on October 7. The affidavit accuses al-Mudadi of violating federal law by providing, attempting to provide, or conspiring to provide material support for a foreign terrorist organization through his alleged involvement in the October 7th attack. Al-Mudadi is also accused of fraud and misuse of visa permits and other documents. So, Dave, he actually escaped from there and ended up in Louisiana. That's wild. But he's been arrested now. All right. Well, Dave, I think that just covers everything tonight. Oh, one last thing. There's a theological battle between the Jews over the Temple Mount. Are you aware of that, Dave?
Talking about the location or just the fact they want to rebuild?
Well, the fact about going up on the Temple Mount.
Right, right.
So what happens is there's factions of Orthodox Jews who believe that they're not to go up on the Temple Mount, that the Messiah is going to build the temple, and then they can go up. So there's battles going on in Judaism now over the Alexka Mosque and whether the Jews have the right to go up there or it's forbidden. And there's nothing forbidding the Jews or anyone else going up there, Dave. All right, Dave, we're pretty well... time for your grand exit.
Okay. All right. Let me give people some homework, John. Okay. The Bible describes that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimonies. So it's very important to share our testimonies. Now, the people that listen to the show realize that the Lord is coming back soon. Now, as a suggestion, there's a book called The Late Great Planet Earth It was written in 1970 by Hal Lindsey. It sold about 28 million. It's translated into 54 different languages. And that's how I got interested in prophecy. Now, it's just a suggestion. You can get a copy of the book, The Late Great Planet Earth, written in 1970. When I talk to people about it, I don't tell them the name of the book, but I say it was written about 55 years ago. Originally, it was a movie. The famous English actor Orson Welles was the narrator, so I paid attention, got a copy of the book, and in the book, you'll see Iran and its proxies threatening Israel, big problems in Syria, a global unsolvable problem with Jerusalem, the West Bank, and the Temple Mount, a coming Mideast peace treaty, a global cashless society, pandemics, the whole planet ganging up in Israel, and there's a whole chapter on China getting nasty. And I say, does that sound familiar? Yeah. So as a suggestion, read the book, The Late Great Planet Earth. While you're reading the book, you're going to see news reports. It gives you all the biblical references to look up. And then suggest that your friends read it, because if they do read it, they'll spend hours studying prophecy. He does a nice presentation on the gospel. But that would be a suggestion. Now, on the way to work lately, I've been listening to the book of Revelation. Okay. You can Google the book of Revelation, King James Version. It's about an hour and 10 minutes. And when you realize that your friends and relatives, if they don't get saved soon, they're going to spend 7 years in Daniel's 70th week. What just happened in Canada is going to look like a prosperous Sunday lawn picnic, because it's going to be global. The entire planet's going to get decimated. It's going to be an absolute catastrophe. So if people read the book, The Late Great Planet Earth, and they start seeing what's happening, they can make the connection that the Lord is coming back soon, so they may get saved. So that's all, just a suggestion. So, John, little update on the shipping department. If you go to usaprophecy.com and scroll down a little bit, you'll see this International Fellowship. And there's a picture, the first picture you'll see, I think it's Henry Kadouza in Malawi passing out the prophecy pack. Now, right now, sad to say, in the past, we've shipped out literally thousands of pieces of material. Now we're running at about 5% capacity. So we've been getting requests from Tanzania, Rwanda, obviously Kenya, Somalia, Ethiopia, Tanzania, and we just can't keep up with the demand. So if you can help us with funds for shipping, it would be greatly appreciated. So that's the story, John. And then also on the website, we have a little thing about the Last Trumpet, a video that we shot at in New York City a while ago, and that you see is very interesting. So that's the story, John. So I'll talk to you during the week. I want to thank everybody for listening. And I'll talk to you soon, John. Okay?
No, it's not okay.
Nope. What did we forget?
You forgot to tell them how to contact you.
Oh, okay. The email is Daystar, Daystar, Windows, number one, at optimum.net. So Daystar Windows 1 at optimum.net. All right, John?
Okay, now I'm happy, Dave. Now I'm happy.
Sounds good. All right, John. So I'll talk to you during the week.
All right.
God bless.
God bless you. All right. I have that covers just about everything for Israel, Middle East. A little bit quiet week. If it does, you know, you just wait a week or two and it's, we can have things really hopping and boiling prophetically. But I have some things to report, interesting things to report on other areas. So let's go in the second hour and take a look at what's going on with China, Russia. Oh, Venezuela is super interesting. Let me get over and get the information up about Venezuela now. It's under the title heading of wars and rumors of wars. So what's happening, and this should have been done, I couldn't tell you how long ago. I don't know, 20, 30 years, where Venezuela, whenever that guy took over from Venezuela, Chavez, that's when things seemed to fall. That was under Obama. So that was probably 15 years ago or so. Probably, it could have been going before that also. But basically, Venezuela is a narco state, and it's being run right by Maduro, the president. So Trump has declared it a narco state, and he's informed Congress that he's going to take military action against Venezuela. Now, just today, he expanded it to Colombia. They have terrorist organizations working in these states, but he's calling Venezuela a narco state. In other words, the state is running these terrorist organizations. And the other one was from Colombia. So it's really close. Now in well oh in addition to that, I think there's, I don't know how many ships have been sunk now. They stayed yesterday they sunk like a submarine. It just like below the water submarine type thing, and the Navy sunk it, and they've sunk many boats now, not submarines, but the U.S. Navy sunk it. And I mean, that's huge amounts of drugs, huge. And so what's happening is Trump is getting closer and closer and closer to attacking now Venezuela. Now, it's not going to be like an armed invasion, but he's going to go after Maduro. He's going to go after the military structure in Venezuela. They have radar and some missiles. He's going to go after that. They'll go after the drug smuggling system, where the drugs are stored, where they're produced, and things like that. And he may also go and try and take out Maduro. So just recently, this week, B-52s, the heavy bombers from the United States, have flown up and down the coast of Venezuela, right off the coast of it. The Navy has pretty powerful fleet there now, the coast. There's a landing craft with the U.S. Marines on it. We have jets stationed in Puerto Rico. So slowly and surely, the American military is gathering around Venezuela with all the military we need to bring Venezuela down. Now, it's not going to be any type of huge invasion, 100,000 soldiers or anything like that. It's just going to be enough to whatever military that's needed to break them so that they can't be this terrorist state. But it very well, the plan may be to take Maduro out. That might be on the table, folks. So this is escalating, and remember, just this week, it seemed to be like maybe Thursday, the B-52s were flying right up and down the coast of Venezuela, which, it's got their attention. So this is interesting to follow out. And I think for sure, Trump will definitely follow through on it. I don't know what is Maduro? He's not in any type of conversations with Maduro. There's no diplomatic channel, at least direct one. But what does Maduro do? How does he get out of this? So this is really serious for him. But Trump is definitely going to stop all, or 98% of all the drugs coming from Venezuela to the United States. And just yesterday, he focused in on the president of Colombia also. So it looks like both of them are going to get the treatment, and they're going to have to stop all their drugs supplying to the United States. Like I said, this should have been done 30 years ago. And it's so refreshing to see a president like President Trump. It's so refreshing to see them take a stand for the country, not just like Biden and probably Bush and Obama. Trump's first term, I don't know what to say. He had enough on his plate, I guess. But now that he's free, he's like the commander in chief. And that's amazing that he is taking the authority as the commander of chief in chief. He's bringing the Navy in, and I think the Coast Guard also. He's got them online, and he's giving them the authority to take out any of these drug-running ships and submarines, authority to take them out. So it's amazing to just to see a president that takes action. He takes authority to back his country up. So, I mean, probably taking out, if he could take out 90% of all those drugs coming from Colombia and Venezuela, and then cut it down coming from Mexico, like they just can't bring it across the border now. You know, it really will help the country. Plus, we need a spiritual revival on top of it. So the spiritual revival, the political, like military revival, between them both, it could really, I mean, the drug rate here in America could just plummet with this type of activity. But it's so heartening to watch the president act like this. Now, I mentioned this several times. I mentioned it many times. And little did I think, I just mentioned it the other day about things are fast deteriorating in Europe, where we might see now many European nations, people fleeing from it, coming to the United States. I could see that clear as a, it's like, it's about ready to happen. I could see it. Because the way Britain and Germany and France in particular were deteriorating, they were arresting people for saying things on Facebook about the government or about Islam. They were arresting hundreds of people in Great Britain every year for it. Same in, I don't know what the rates were in Germany and France, but they were doing the same thing. President Vance gave an awesome speech earlier this year in Europe to, I think it was was it the, I'm not sure if it was the European Union or NATO now, I'm not sure. But anyways, he warned them that they were becoming just like the Soviet Union in the 1950s and 60s. It didn't go over too good. They didn't like what they were hearing. But here, this article here is tremendous now. Just in light of what I've been saying, Donald, quote, John, Donald Trump could give refugee status to U.S. to in the U.S. to Brits opposed to immigration. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. They're our allies. They're supposed to be for freedom of speech and all the things that have been known in the West, but they're not now. They're not. So, in fact, this is what I wrote about this article. For several years, I said the day is coming when America was going to open its doors to Europeans fleeing from the New World Order, destroying their nations. It appears the day has arrived. Freedom-loving Europeans are now targets of the New World Order, as it turns nations into Islamic hellholes. The big exit might be from the British and the Germans. So this is what the article says now. This is a quote from the article. Reforms to the country's asylum laws could include a priority of Europeans who have been targeted for peaceful expressions of views online, such as opposition to mass migration or support for a populist political parties, a source told the New York Times. Those hoping to be awarded American citizenship would have to demonstrate respect for our cultural norms and take classes on American history and values. It was suggested it comes after U.S. President J.D. Vance criticized Germany for political exclusion of the far-right Alternative for Germany party. So there we go. That's how close we are now. And it's odd to think that British citizens would get asylum in the United States because they were complaining about illegal aliens pouring into the country. And for that, they were going to jail. Amazing. Amazing, folks. But here it is. So I don't know if he's ready to do it right now, but certainly in the very near future, if England keeps this up and Germany keeps it up, I think we're going to see the first of the British and German wave of immigrations coming to the United States, because they're falling fast in Europe. Europe is literally falling fast, folks. They are nothing but an empty drum now. And the Muslims get protected. Here's another article from Great Britain. Jewish man arrested for wearing Star of David in London because it antagonized pro-Palestinian protesters. All right, from the article, a Jewish lawyer wearing a Star of David was arrested after British police claimed the Jewish necklace had antagonized pro-Palestinian protesters. The lawyer stated that the officers handcuffed him with his hands behind his back, placed him in a vehicle, and held him for questioning. He said that he was detained for nearly 10 hours. So these are the type of things. They start off, Lord, folks, maybe a little soft. But when they start down this line, what you see going on in England, what you see going on in Germany, what you see going on in France. I'm trying to think of other countries. Maybe Spain. Spain's up there. Holland had been. Holland's making a nice comeback. Austria. I don't know of any other countries, but when they go down that road like that, they very seldom turn around and come back. They get power hungry, and that's what we have now in those NATO countries. So it was an amazing thing that it may have been last week that I spoke about this, and here it is. The Brits are about to get U.S. asylum because they're speaking out against the government. In light of what I just said, I have more information here about the military in the Caribbean. Trump deploys Army's 160th Special Operations Aviation Regiment, they're called the Night Stalkers, to the Caribbean for the siege of Venezuela. So that is what I had mentioned earlier. And in addition to what I said, we have more troops coming in. So it looks like we're going to have about somewhere around 7,000 troops, F-35 fighters, P-8 Poseidon spy planes, one submarine, nuclear submarine, and the 160th Special Operations Aviation Regiment. Their nickname is the Night Stalkers. And so that sums it up. That sums it up, what we're building down there towards Venezuela. But how does, and I go back to what I was saying before, How does Maduro get out of this? What does he say? I won't let Venezuela be drug runners anymore, or a narco state. I don't have any clue how he could get out of it. All right. Trump, let me see here. Trump humiliates Putin by declaring Russia is on the brink of collapse, and it's for one reason. So what Trump is saying, it's the economy in Russia, and the problem is the oil. Now, I don't know what the percentage is, but Ukraine has destroyed a significant percentage of Russia's oil. I think it's at 20%. So Russia's losing 20% of its oil reserves. Can't produce it. So what happens is, it's a huge impact on Russia's economy now. Russia has lost, since the Ukraine war started, Russia has almost lost 500,000 businesses, and there's huge shortages now of gasoline. You go to a gas station, you got to wait for hours, and there's no end in sight. So Russia's in big trouble. Now, Russia's been in trouble since it attacked Ukraine, and at some point, this trouble is going to be, it's going to break Russia. It looks like it's doing it now, because the Russians do not have enough oil. There's a shortage of oil. Ukraine has destroyed about 20% of their supply line. It's amazing, folks. Ukraine is this, compared to Russia, this tiny little country. It's not little, but it's a tiny country compared to Russia. Now, there's also talk, you may have picked up on this, about Trump sending cruise missiles. They call it cruise Tomahawk missiles. And they can reach like 1,500 miles into Russia. And apparently they got, you know, they're top-notch. Electronic warfare. They can block being jammed. They're stealth. So the Russians would have a very difficult time trying to intercept these cruise missiles. And the Ukrainians want them to take out all the Russian oil depots. So you can see the problem. I mean, what happens if Ukraine takes out another 20%, 40% of the Russian oil is gone? I mean, that's the thing that could collapse the entire Russian economy, because it's teetering and tottering right now. Right now. Amazing to watch this. It's like a slow motion train wreck. Let's see what else is going on here. Well, the Venezuelan economy is collapsing also. The same with Cuba. Both of them are in horrific financial situation. Yeah, Cuba, its electric grid is completely collapsed. I mean, they're days without electricity now. Days. Food shortages. I mean, the whole country is like collapsed now. Cuba. Well, that takes care of everything about wars and rumors of wars. And let me go over now to the stuff going on primarily in the United States. Now, the rioters, I'm going to call them, about immigration, they're getting very, very aggressive. Some of them have been arrested now. But according to the history article, Chicago rioters strike ICE agents. Mexican cartels offer $50,000 for murder of top feds. All right, so they're offering $2,000 for intelligence on officials and their families, $5,000 to $10,000 for the kidnapping of non-lethal assaults, and up to 50,000 for murdering high-ranking officials. Oh, it's like a shopping list, you know. And here they've got this list out. If you beat up an ICE agent, you can get $10,000 for that. Really bold. That shows like a real lack of fear for the government. And that's going to be reversed now. The more they act like this, the more the planning takes place to deal with this. So Antifa is under investigation by the feds and other terrorist groups. So we have this terrorism, but you notice how they are very comfortable in Democrat cities, these terrorist groups. It's amazing to watch this. So there is a showdown coming real soon, really soon. And Trump is going to move against these terrorist groups. The real danger in all of this, the terrorists here are something like Hamas. They're very similar to Hamas. So, well, Hamas does not care how many die. They're dying for the cause. And the more that get killed, the better, or the worse it looks for the United States, the better it looks for Antifa here, or these Dem cities. So they can always point to, look what the feds did. They killed, look at this, they killed so-and-so and so-and-so and so. These are murderers. We got to rise up against them. So they definitely want a civil war. There's no doubt about it. And they're very patient about it. They're kind of slowly going about it. They have governors speaking on their behalf, mayors speaking on their behalf. But it's coming, folks, because they want it. This isn't something that you can negotiate away. These people are ideologues. The governor of Oregon, the governor of Illinois, the governor of New York, Massachusetts, mayor of Los Angeles, probably the governor of California also. So we are, it's very close, folks. But Trump has been really good in not allowing the army to get drawn into this. He's very, very good. But at some point, because they're, like I said, they're ideologues, they're not giving up. They want to drag America into a civil war. Now, Trump said the next city he's going to go into is San Francisco. He said San Francisco. He's getting a lot of reports from San Francisco. They're begging the military to come in, that the city is completely falling apart and all of this. So it's very possible that he'll go into San Francisco. But the more cities he goes into, let me back up. I saw in the news today some reports about Memphis. Now, it's been very quiet about the military and the federal law enforcement in Memphis. But apparently they're doing an excellent job. There's been a huge number of arrests and all sorts of guns have been taken off the streets. There's a calm quietness coming over the city. So that's another city now. We have Los Angeles. We have Washington, D.C. We have Memphis. So he needs to go into these cities to show that he's very successful with military force. The people are happy. Crime rate is way down. Guns are off the streets. You can kind of walk in the streets again now, go into maybe downtown Memphis. But he needs more of that, folks, because he'll have a track record. Going into Chicago, he'll have a track record. We were highly successful in Washington, D.C., highly successful in Los Angeles, in San Francisco, in Memphis. Also, the Democrat governor, a mayor of New Orleans, well, not she's not requesting it, but the governor is. The governor of New Orleans is requesting the military to come in and help law enforcement to clean up the city. So that's what we could have, folks, is a progression to Chicago. And the governor and the mayor are blowhards, and they're bragging, and we don't want to be invaded. It's like they think, it's funny, when you listen to them, they don't mind that guy Garcia, the Garcia who they arrested and sent back to El Salvador. Oh, they want him. They love him. He's one of them. But the government cleaning up the other people, that aren't maybe MS-13 members, they could care. It's like upside down. They're protecting the gang members, and the others, they could care less what's happening to them. It's amazing. But never thought I would see that the Dems would go so far left that they want to protect MS-13, gun dealers, drug dealers, traffickers, violence, and all of that, and willing to go to insurrection to do it. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Incredible. They would stand for insurrection and holler that they're doing this wonderful thing for the citizens of Chicago against the President of the United States. In fact, that guy, I'm trying to think, Johnson, the mayor of Chicago, he just mentioned yesterday that Trump is trying to create a civil war. Trump's not trying to create the civil war. He's enforcing the law against criminals here in the United States illegally, especially criminals, the real bad ones. And this guy here has the audacity to say that Trump is trying to start a civil war. This is what he wants to do. No, this is what they want to do. This is what they want to do. And they're hoping in the long term they'll win. Now, I don't know what you win in a situation like that. So, there is talk about secession by these, it's like city states. You take like Portland. I'm sure Portland would secede tomorrow, but 3/4 of the state won't go with them. So in other words, Oregon would remain Oregon, and Portland would secede, I guess, from the Union. Bizarre. And you'd have cities. You'd have like city states. You have Chicago pulling out of Illinois. Just amazing. San Francisco, you could see it. Atlanta, Detroit, maybe. So you'd have these little city states. How could you function? Amazing. Seattle would be another one. But that's where we're heading. They don't really have a plan. They're like kind of wild on this. All they want to do is secede, secede. Secede. Maybe they think they'll take states down with them. Wow. All right. Oh, this is a very, very interesting from Africa. The Anglican Church. Now, the Anglican Church, of course, its headquarters is in Great Britain, but they just put in the head of the Anglican Church, a lesbian woman, and that was all that the I'm going to call them the foreign elements could handle. And they seceded now. So the Anglican Church just went through a civil war. And here's what the headline says. Anglican Church splits over LGBT friendly woman Archbishop of Canterbury. So I think the country is it's Rwanda. All right, so here's what the article says. Most Reverend Dr. Laurent Mombana, the chairman of the Council of Anglican Church of Rwanda, published a letter declaring that the true Anglican Church was now under GAFCON. I don't know what GAFCON means, and not under the Archbishop of Canterbury, as it has been for centuries. The letter is in response to the appointment of Archbishop of Canterbury. The title is Dame, D-A-M-E, Dame Archbishop of Canterbury, as it has been for centuries. The letter is in response to the appointment as Archbishop Dame Sarah Molay, the first woman to hold the post in early October. Well, that's what we need here in these days. We need a clear break from these apostate churches so the world can see it. And somewhere, I think it's 50 million people are pulled out of the Anglican Church. Because it's not a big church. I mean, 50 million is nice. But it's a church that we could see operate. And we could see drawing a line between the apostate church and the real church. So I wish them best in the Lord. And the Archbishop Millay here and the Anglican Church, that they would disappear, that it would no longer be called a church. Maybe they'd be swallowed up by Muslims. You can call it a mosque, but not a church. We want to be disassociated from anything like this, promoting homosexuality, abortion, lesbianism, and the all the abominations that God forbids they do. So make a clean sweep, clean break, that the world can know that we as believers are not associated at all with the Anglican Church or, you know, the other churches that are like that too. Some of them are clearly split, the Presbyterians, the Lutherans, and we need a separation so the world knows we're not like them, because I don't want to get lumped in to them. I want to be with the body of Christ. Oh, this is very interesting. Now, you may not be familiar with this name, but his name is Jack Smith, and he was the federal attorney that was trying to put Trump in jail. So they just found letters or documents that he was spying on senators. It was a mixture of senators and congressmen. But Congresswoman Blackburn from Tennessee, her and the total of eight politicians that were being spied on by Jack Smith, made a criminal referral to the Department of Justice about Jack Smith. And that's what we need now. The ball rolling. He has got to go to jail. He's horrific what he was doing to Trump. Absolutely horrific. So that was referred this week to the Department of Justice. I don't know exactly. I think there's more to it. I don't know exactly what is the full picture. But he did many horrific things. So the way it works with these, particularly federal investigations, is they get these charges on Jack Smith. They can indict him. But then before the trial, there's an issue comes up about they found more crimes. So they re-indict him, and you add that to the original charges. So I think that that's what may happen to him. There'll be charge after charge after charge after charge dropped on him. And I want him to go to jail, not because of vindictiveness, but he is a criminal. What he did was criminal. So now he was trying to falsify charges against Trump. So now let's the real charges against him, let them become the subject of an investigation. So you've got real charges, real evidence, and he'll stand out in the open, and hopefully he'll be convicted for his crimes and go to jail. Amazing, amazing. But how this turned around, folks. It's amazing how it got turned around. The hunter became the hunted here. Amazing what God can do. 1775, it may have been earlier, was revisited, almost revisited again. But the United Nations wanted to have a massive climate tax tariff, I guess it would be. And they wanted to tax the United States. It had to do on shipping and the amount of CO2 released by ships. And the countries would get taxed accordingly. So Trump immediately blocked it. Immediately. So back in the 1770s, the argument was no taxation without representation. So Europe, or particularly England, could tax the United States, or the colonies as they were called then, and they had no say about it. They weren't represented in Congress. So that was the cry now, because the UN on its own decided they're going to tax the United States. How's that? Some unelected board decide they're going to tax the whole world, and particularly the United States, and just send us your money. Now, I mean, it's, what a con. What a con. So President Trump said no. No. But that's exactly what happened 255 years ago when the colonists said, we have no representation with you in Great Britain. We can't defend ourselves. So no taxation without representation. That's funny. Look at it. And here's how this keeps going and going. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker suggests Democrats may try and prosecute ICE agents, DHS officials. See, that's like instant civil war. I mean, if you're going to prosecute ICE agents and Department of Homeland Security officials, you'll have the marshals, the U.S. marshals, and you don't have to send the military in. Depends upon how big the rebellion is. But the U.S. marshals will go in and they can arrest Pritzker or the Attorney General of Illinois, bring him back and put him into federal prison, obstruction of justice, Insurrection Act. I mean, this is really incredible. It reminds me, and I was aware of this as a kid with George Wallace and the government of Alabama, and it had to do about black kids going into schools, and Wallace blocked it. It was a university, I believe. It was the University of Alabama. Anyways, he wouldn't allow this one, Evers, was that his name, Evers? I can remember it. And I can remember the National Guard walking kids to school. And the incident was Wallace was standing on the steps to the University of Alabama, and he had the general of the National Guard right next to him. And I believe Bobby Kennedy was there for the United States because he was the Attorney General. And he had the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff with him. So you got Wallace, and with Wallace is the commander of the Alabama National Guard. Then you have the Attorney General of the United States, and you have with him whoever was ahead of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And the Joint Chiefs of Staff got a call from John Kennedy, the president. And he said he wanted to speak to the commander of the Alabama National Guard, who then spoke to Kennedy, and Kennedy said, "You've been federalized. Now I'm federalizing the Alabama National Guard, and that you are to work with the Attorney General of the United States." So the man saluted, "Yes, sir," and he stepped away from Wallace, and he went over and he said to Bobby Kennedy, he said, "I am under your authority now." So something like that could come down here, folks. You could really see it coming down. I see this coming down just like I saw the asylum coming to Europeans again, fleeing tyranny in Europe. I can see this happening again. Will the Illinois National Guard stand with direct orders from the President of the United States? Will the Oregon National Guard stand with the United States? I don't know what others are in trouble now, but those are the two big ones, Oregon and Illinois. That's why we need a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Millions will get saved and change the attitude of these officials, just to be such power against them that they'll have to submit. But this Pritzker guy, and then Johnson, the governor, the mayor of Chicago, as politicians go, they're two of the biggest losers I've ever seen. I mean, they go along with Bill and Hillary, you know, and Kamala and Biden. I mean, they are really bad, really bad. It's amazing. All right. Now we're looking at sedition here. Oh, before we get to that, I want to go to something that I'm really blessed about. China arrests numerous prominent Christian leaders. Trump administration demands release. Even today, Trump was telling Xi, I think there were 30 top believers in the Lord that were arrested in China just a couple days ago. And Marco Rubio told the Chinese that you've got to let them go. So this is what we need. We need America standing up to these tyrants like in China, but there should be more places, you know, like where Boko Haram is. And that's a good place in Nigeria to stand up and force these governments to do what's right. So here's what it says about in China. Zion Church, that's what it's called. Pastor Jin Minggui of the Zionist Church was detained at his home Friday evening, along with leaders of at least five other Chinese provinces. They were arrested. The charges of illegal dissemination of religious content via the internet. See, that's exactly what's going on in Great Britain, in Germany. Could follow, said Sean Long of Chinese Zion Church pastor studying in the United States. "This is a very disturbing and distressing moment," Long said. "This is a brutal violation of the freedom of religion, which is written into the Chinese Constitution." Yeah, a lot of help that is. "We want our pastors to be released immediately." Secretary of State Marco Rubio said the Trump administration condemns the Chinese Communist Party, CCP, recent detention of dozens of leaders and of unregistered House Zion Church of China, including prominent pastor Minggui Ezra Jin. So there you go. I'm very glad that the president has taken a stand on it. He's spoken out. Marco Rubio has spoken out and told China, I think it's going to affect our relations until this is straightened out. between the United States and China. So we want to thank President Trump for this, Secretary of State Rubio, and that this church will be protected. It's called a Zion Church. It will be protected from these communist tyrants. Well, that's about all today. I can take a look to see. GOP senators dropped bombshell. FBI was spying on many more Republicans. That's what I was telling you. And they've 8 senators now are bringing charges against that guy, Jack Smith. Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson declares rebellion against feds, vows to lead a resistance against the federal authorities. So, you know, we're on the verge, folks. You know, I could see this confrontation coming and other cities going along with Chicago. You know, it could cause a rupture. In the short run, it could cause a rupture in the country. In the long run, I think everything's going to turn out. But the short run, definitely, we're definitely being set up for an insurrection. So what I'm going to do now is go over to the Uber conference, see if there's any questions or comments. You can feel free to call in 717-409-5553 if you have a question or a comment. Let me get over to the Uber conference room, and I think we'll have a little prayer also. Oh, they also found, they meaning the Secret Service, when the president's plane comes into Florida there for his place at Mar-a-Lago, apparently there's some section where the plane is open to sniping. And the Secret Service today found a sniper's nest up high in a tree with a perfect line of sight of the president's plane. So that's under investigation right now. That just broke news this morning. But we have Brother Charles. Brother Charles, any comment or question that you'd like? Yes, Brother Charles.
I unmute myself. Ed, I unmute myself, Chap. No, sir, other than you're right on about Memphis and President Trump needs to continue, you know, focus on some other cities and do the same thing. And, you know, it's just a very positive thing that's happened.
Good. Good.
And thank you for hosting tonight, Chap. It's very informative and I always enjoy Sunday night.
All right. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
All right. Now, Sister Kathy is AWOL. Sharon, do you have a report for us on where Sister Kathy is?
No. She was in chat earlier. She didn't say she was leaving. I have no idea what's going on.
All right. Hey, and yesterday, remember I was telling you about Cornwallis, or everybody, but we talked about General Cornwallis surrendered the British Army at Yorktown?
Yes.
And they were also celebrating the founding of the Marines?
Yeah, 250 years, yeah.
Yeah, but I was reading today, and it isn't until November. The Marines were...
Right.
So what was it doing yesterday? Why did they have the event yesterday when it's like a month early?
You know what? I'm not sure why, but who knows? Probably just some scheduling thing.
I don't know. It's weird. So I'll get back to you.
Yeah, maybe we don't want to know.
All right, Gigi and or Randy.
Hello, John. It's
Hello.
Randy.
Yes, Randy.
Yeah, well, we found it very interesting and informative.
a good Sunday night as usual, so thank you very much.
Did one article stand out in particular?
No, I just wanted to ask you what your opinion is on, do you see any way forward for Hamas to disarm? I mean, that seems like a total impossibility. What are you going to do with 5,000 unemployed terrorists? And that's what they'd be if they didn't have rifles.
If these are real Hamas fighters, I think that they will fight to the death. And they want to become martyrs.
Yeah, they want to.
Well, somebody today, I don't know what it was on, but their idea was that the Israelis have to quietly and covertly get rid of those people.
Who wants them?
I mean, it's awful hard to get rid of them just by going in with your guns blazing, you know?
Hey, would you want to take in a Hamas terrorist, Brother Randy?
Only if I could incarcerate him.
You wouldn't share your pasta with them.
No, I certainly hope they don't come up with the idea that the Hamas guys ought to come here.
I don't think so under Trump. Biden, yes. Trump, no.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions or comments?
No, that's the only one I have. I just pictured the job interview. Oh, your last assignment was as a Hamas terrorist. So what is your skill set, you know? I just don't understand it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We've got Suzanne now up next. Hello, Sister Suzanne.
Oh, good evening. You know what's really hard? I've mentioned this before, because there's a lot of ICE situations going on near me. And the thing is that they're always making it, some of these people are innocent. You know, there's never any communication that any of these people are criminals. Not all of them are, I mean, that the ICE is dealing with. And it's just does not go over well here, because, you know, there's a lot of Hispanic people here. There's a lot of, and there's people from all over, and they just, it comes across as that he is being a tyrant and these people are innocent, because they don't ever discuss anybody being a criminal. So, it's very, I mean, I keep my mouth shut. I mean, there's no way I would ever say anything publicly.
Yeah. Well, you're in a tough spot there.
Right.
Wow.
So, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, you kind of got a bird's eye view of what's happening.
Exactly. And it's locally, you know, there'll be something on my local Facebook for the area saying ICE are over here, they're over there, they're doing this. I mean, no one is happy about it.
It's amazing how in a free society, we're going to say, with the free and open media, and they fall into propaganda.
Yes, and you know, the high school, the schools, you know, it's an issue everywhere here. So, oh my goodness. So anyway, I don't totally understand it all, because I don't agree with all of it myself. There's been some brutality that the ICE people have done. You know, it doesn't mean everybody's human, and they all don't necessarily do things the right way on both sides.
Well, I don't think there's any equivalent to what ICE may be doing compared to who they're dealing with.
I agree with you, but the problem is that's what the media is going to show, only anything negative. I mean, you know, in terms of ICE, they're going to show the bad things that maybe is construed wrong or whatever, but
we can't leave a criminal element like this in the country. We can't.
No, but they're not seeing it as criminal.
Yeah.
They don't.
But that's the truth. But that's the truth. That's the truth. So you've got liars. That's how Civil War started.
Right.
No.
Which is why I say to you, I keep my mouth shut.
Yes.
Because, like, I have two doors away, we have a Hispanic family, and they're Christian. They're definitely born-again Christians. And they are to be here. They're allowed to be here because they are citizens. But from their standpoint, you know, they know people that are not criminals, that are being affected by this. And so I can't say to them, oh, I think it's okay that ICE is doing this, because to them it's not okay. Because they know people who are really should be allowed to be here and are being affected by ICE. So it's a no-win situation in a way.
Yeah, well, you know, it's the situation was set up by the Democrats and Joe Biden allowing tens of 10 million, 15 million. They allowed these terrorists to come in, like from Venezuela and Colombia and the MS-13. They brought them all in. And these cities now, these states like Illinois with the governor and Chicago with that mayor, it's a continuation of what Biden has done. These are evil, evil, evil people. And there's some really alternative motive for this. Why are they so in love with these gang members and with these murderers? And here in Texas, there was a huge amount of these illegal alien criminals. I forget what the number was, 2,000, I think. They arrested in the Houston area, and it went fine. The mayor was for it, the Democrat city. The mayor was for it. The governor was for it. I mean, that they had a big long, they gave us a big long list of their names and their crimes and all. And the whole area was delighted that they were taken out, taken away. So what is this motive for Chicago? What is driving them? What's their goal in this?
Well, it must be still an old principality that's been around the Chicago area. Because it's not Southern Illinois. No, you can't compare. That's not happening. That's not the situation down there. It's this Chicago principality of powers and principalities that's been over this area.
Maybe it's Al Capone. Maybe it's Al Capone.
That, right. Which is, you know, that spirit, there's a spirit, an evil spirit of something, you know, that's been here for a long time.
Well, let me pray. Father, we're all before you in the name of Jesus. This could be very serious. If enough people are swallowing this, Lord, it could be very, very dangerous. Many people could be injured and killed, Lord. It could, you know, fracture the country. It would be the big cities against the states, Lord. Really, that's what it would be. So, Lord, we're asking a mighty move of your Holy Spirit, Lord. We're asking for your blessings. We're asking, Lord, for that revival fire in the cities to change people's hearts, Lord. In the governor and mayor in Oregon, Lord, are incredibly evil. this governor, I just look at him from Illinois, and it's just awful, Lord. And then the mayor of Chicago is just as bad. So, Lord, we're asking now for a mighty move of your spirit, Lord. We've been greatly blessed up to this point. We want to continue, Lord. So any type of organized rebellion like this, we're asking you break it, Lord. We're asking you break it, that a criminal element would be removed, Lord, and taken back to their own nations, Lord, where they belong, but not here, not criminal, illegal aliens, Lord. So we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I got my dog is right here. There's something going on. Hang on, please. What are you doing? Danny boy, what are you doing? I think his toy went under my desk and he's trying to get it. Yeah, that's what it is. All right, you got to get out of there. We'll have to get it after the show. And then we have Sister Rita. Hello, Rita.
Hello, Chaplain John. It was really a great evening of information. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
I love Sunday nights.
Yeah, you've said that quite often. Yeah.
I know. I really do. I look forward to Sunday.
Okay. Any question or comment?
No, I don't. Just what I said, that I really enjoy it. So I have no questions.
Okay. Well, glad you're here. And then we have Paula Jean. Hello, Sister Paula Jean. Yes, Paula Jean.
Hello. Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Oh, good. Yeah, it was good tonight. However, I'm going to ask you about that comment about, you know, there's going to be insurrection. Do you remember? It was just midpoint, kind of after you were through with Dave, or shortly before you were through with Dave, kind of close in there.
Okay.
And I was wondering how you pictured this.
The insurrection?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the governors have to be led by governors. It would be the governors, not senators, really. But it would be led by governors, and they have to get the people behind them. So, but the element that they're using, the issue they're using, criminal illegal aliens, it may work in Chicago if the people are only just following the Chicago media, but across the nation, you know, the vast majority of the people know exactly what's happening, and it's not going to go good for them. They're going to try. I really believe they're going to try. They're desperate, and they're thinking that there can be an uprising against Washington and President Trump. I believe they're going to try it.
I wouldn't argue with trying it. You know, I'm sure you're right, but I'm still praying against that. And I'm just praying that it doesn't even get off the ground. And I'm praying that we have supernatural interference. You know, that the people that are making the plans get confounded, the scheduling and finances get turned over on like an apple cart just being flopped. Everything out of it, all the energy to go forward, being stopped before it can. You know, I'm just really praying against it, and for more people to wake up and decide it's just not worth fighting to prove something that they know better about, because it's so untrue. It is such a lie. And I'm just praying that the eyes open up and hearts be convicted and they give up in disgust And I don't know how it can happen, but that's what I'm praying for. I'm kind of like on Trump's side. I want this battle to stop. And people come to a willingness to work things out sensibly. And they haven't been sensible about anything. And so, of course, I know I'm asking for a miracle. But I am praying for it.
Good.
And so I'm going to say that. There was one other thing. I think a lot of it has to be done in the spiritual realm. And so I'm just praying that the good Lord keep my mind where he wants it so that I know what he wants me to be doing. And so that I'm not filling up my basket over full with stuff that isn't me to even mess around with. You know what I'm saying? I honestly need to just continue to be looking to him to help me be disciplined about what to be praying for.
Okay.
And what to be believing, regardless of how things look. In other words, to believe in the more of his ability rather than the less because of the chaos that wants to happen. And, I mean, it takes a fair amount of attention to dispel the lies that the enemy keep throwing our way. And so it's like, I don't want to be fending that off. I want it over and done with.
Okay. And that's sense, very good. Well, lead us in prayer, please. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Heavenly Father, you know what I'm trying to say, and I'm not doing a very good job, so I'm going to ask you to help me pray as you would have me to pray about what's going on today. We know that there is a lot of tension, Father God, and I'm taking it back away from the cities right now. I'm taking it over there to Gaza because that's where it's fallen pretty much into Netanyahu's hands. If he's going to take care of those that refuse to stop killing, I pray that you protect him and guide him very carefully. I pray that whatever is done through IDF, that you protect them as well. I pray that they start learning about you in the midst of the process, because your firmness and your justice needs to be administered. And if those leaders will look to you, then what you want done is what they will do. And that's what I'm praying for, Father. We from this side of the world can't know. Even the leaders over there may not know until they do hear from you. But once they hear from you, they can move with confidence and assurance that you are having their back and their front and both sides. And Father God, that's how I want it to go for those who are in Israel. And so that's what I lift up to you right now, because that's been in my heart. And I lift that up to you in Jesus' name. And Father God, I do pray that lessons be learned, that the people who have been raising children to murder will somehow get a different story into their spirit and soul and mind. And that the schools over there, because of your dreams and visions that you give people and personal visits as well, I pray, Father God, enough of them have their minds changed to start to make a difference, even in the lives of those around them who hear of their testimonies. And I pray your protection of them, that they not be shot and killed for the truth that they spread. I do, Father. I pray that you protect them. And Heavenly Father, when it comes to our places where it's cities, and in some states like mine, states, a lot are in for protecting the illegal immigrants for the sake of votes, for the sake of control, financial gain. Father God, we pray for the innocents, the children trafficking, but people as well as narcotics, which kill people. And Father God, the trafficking kills people too. Little is said of the ones that die before they're released. So Father God, I do pray that the FBI and DOJ will continue to work on blocking all of that, stopping the deliverance of narcotics, and finding and setting free and rehabilitating those that need to be trained how to be able to live and function in the world in a different role than as a trafficked person. Father God, I pray for healing, massive healing. And I pray for that also for those who are carrying children who need to know the alternatives that they have before they get into the abortion clinic. You know what I speak of, because that's another massive number. And I am so grateful to know that you're the one that receives them, but nevertheless, it denies them the opportunity to live out your plan here on earth. So, Father God, it's all of these things that I lift to you, knowing that as you move, as was demonstrated when they had the communion in D.C., table spread out, many, many people praying in agreement for the nation and in love for you, that your kingdom come and your will be done here on earth, Father God. And that those that repent be forgiven, that many come to know Jesus. And that I pray, will be another bit of a start of that great outpouring that we're calling for. Because people did put their faith into action. And I pray that you notice every time that takes place, whether it be in an individual household or a great massive demonstration. And we love you, Lord. We so want to have you glorified here on earth and in our families' lives and even in the enemies' lives if they are at all really willing to purposely convert and repent intentionally and sincerely and turn around and learn your ways. So, Father God, we know that you're able to give them that opportunity, as well as ourselves and our children. So I thank you with that confidence. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. All right. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Yves. Then we have Sister Sharon.
Yes, Chaplain John. Okay. Again, like no questions or comments to make about what you taught tonight or talked about. I made a comment that we all need to be prepared. We need to make sure that, you know, we know for a fact that we're saved, our family members are saved, and just to work with them and to get more reassurance, because stuff is going to happen, and it's in the Bible, and, you know, we can't stop it. It's going to happen, and that's it. And I spent some time tonight trying to help Ariel figure out the site, and I think it'll be easier to help her figure it out during the morning sessions and stuff when it's not quite so crazy. But so anyway, I just want to say thank you, and I'm going to go ahead and pray.
Okay.
Yeah, so dear Father God, I just thank you so much for Abba Father International. I thank you that we can all get together to talk with one another, to pray with one another, and to just enjoy each other's company. And dear Father, I just want to pray for Ariel as she was trying to maneuver and figure out this new site. And just like any of us, dear Father God, when we're first looking at the new site, we're just kind of maybe perplexed and wondering, well, why, you know, why is it like this or that or this? But dear Father God, you know the answers to those questions, and you know that we are all smart enough to use this site. And I just thank you, dear Father God, that we do have this place that we can all come and talk and communicate. And it's just wonderful for that reason. And to hear Chaplain John teach and preach, see the other videos and stuff that he was showing us, like the Billy Graham video last night, that really, really touched my heart. I really enjoyed that. And there are so many old Billy Graham videos online that a person could spend a lot of time listening to him. And then again, then with Joe Kramer on archaeology and stuff, and that is just so, so interesting and stuff. It's almost like a lot of times it's hard to put your finger on it, if you want to put it that way, when he's talking about the things. But we're learning. We are all learning through this site and through what Chaplain John posts up for us to hear and to listen to, and the people that come to talk to us and stuff. And that makes it such a joy, dear Father God. And I am just so grateful that I do have Chaplain John to listen to. As you know, my situation here, dear Father, that I can't do very much. I can listen and I can talk, and I can push some buttons, whether I'm pushing the right one or not, I can push some buttons. And I need this site. I love this site for that, because of all the different things that are done on it. The teaching and the preaching overseas, and we get to hear from Jamil and Pastor Zephaniah and the other pastors overseas, and everything that's going on over there. And dear Father, we know that the trouble is brewing here in the United States and stuff. And that we all have to just draw closer to you, dear Father, and you will be there for us and stuff. And we know when we do leave this earthly home, we will go to be with you. And we need to get other people the reassurance that that's what will happen with them too. And as we were talking the other night, and Chaplain John has mentioned the last few nights, that the fields are ripe. The fields are ready for harvest and stuff. And that's what we are here to do, for to help these people understand about you, dear Father God, understand about salvation, the repentance, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we are getting ready to sit on another new revival and stuff, and we all have to be ready with our Bibles in hands, brochures and tracts, and anything that we have that we can hand out to people and talk to people. And I do thank you, dear Father God, that I can do that, and that Bobby is off doing that too now, and he's just so happy to be able to do that when he can. And I just want to thank you for that. And dear Father God, I just am very, very thankful for him taking care of me and everything that's going on with that situation. So, dear Father, I just want to again pray for everybody who's here, that if they're not sure of somebody's salvation, that they feel that it's right to let us know, and we can help talk to that person too. And I just pray, dear Father God, that everybody that's all possible, we will get them to go to heaven to be with you in the rapture, and not after 7 years of nightmare, but in the rapture. And in your name I do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to call it a night. I'm tired. And I hope everybody was blessed. So tomorrow morning we have prayer at 10 a.m. Eastern. And then tomorrow night, starting at 9 p.m. Eastern, we have Pastor Fred has been teaching. And then yes, we have Watch and Pray after that. So you're all welcome. God bless everybody. And looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, and amen.
O God of burning, cleansing flame,
send the fire.
Your blood-bought gift today we claim.
Send
hear our cry.